Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Overnight America continues. Just past midnight, 12:06. Thank you for everyone joining us now. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Or if you miss any part of the show, we do post it online for free. Yeah, absolutely free. I mean, you got to have internet, of course, but you can go get it at KMOX.com/overnight or get it on your favorite podcast app. You know what I'm doing earlier, or I guess later? It's midnight, so it'd be later. So in the morning, I'm going to be getting up early and I'm finally going to a dentist. It's been 7 years since I've been to a dentist. 7 years. I take care of my teeth. I brush twice a day. I use special mouthwash to clean things out. I floss. I don't mess around. Like, I do everything you should be doing. It's just I haven't been for a cleaning in so long. We're going to see what 7 years without a cleaning looks like when they get in there. And this is what I'm looking forward to. The dentist looks in there and says, wow, I'm surprised. This looks great. This is what I'm hoping the dentist says. Never been to this place. I guess I'll go find out. You want to take a bet what's going to happen later? You can text in 314-436-7900. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Bree calling in from Texas. Hey, Bree, what's going on?
Well, you were talking about, I'm doing just fine. You were talking about too bad that there was so much crime in St. Louis and that you have such good food.
Oh, yeah, I said it's about time. Normally, that's what we're on the map for. That's a story about a crime story, but it's about time we got something good.
All right, but you see, that they are related. What you call good food is not nutritional food, and psychiatrists have proven by studies that they have won in poor neighborhoods and in prison systems that poor nutrition causes civil disobedience, aggression, and violent behaviors.
That's interesting.
And especially fast foods and sausages, which are, you know, your sausage is, they have high sodium in them. And you're talking about good food, and I know, and it's rich food, and it's really good to eat, but it isn't nutritionally good.
I don't know. I don't know if I would think that's all of the root of our problems.
Well, they've run these tests throughout the United States in prisons, and they have put these prisoners, violent criminals, on a nutritional supplements,
yeah,
and changed their diets, and they have seen different people over a period,
yeah,
of about 16 weeks.
I would so hope that being ranked number two on their list doesn't mean our quality of food is fast food worthy or prison worthy. I would hope that we're up there for other reasons, and I think the way they justify it is not because of those things you're bringing up. But
well, if you look at the cities that they listed, and you check the crime, their crime history, you'll see that all of these cities have high crime histories.
Does Honolulu have high crime? They're number three on the list. Do they?
San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco, Austin, maybe, yeah.
Actually, Austin, Texas, and Houston, Texas, they are our highest criminal.
In Austin? Oh, I don't get that impression. Is Austin really a high-crime area?
Oh, yes, Austin. Austin, Texas. I know. I was born here, and I've lived here. Well, I haven't lived here all my life.
So we just need to go vegan. We need to go all salad diet, and everything will be fine
no,
after that?
red meat is very important in a good diet.
I see. Okay.
Red meat and lots of vegetables.
I don't see the correlation. After a nice meal like that, I don't feel like going out and committing crimes. I'm pretty satisfied after some of these great meals. So maybe it has the opposite effect for me.
Well, I would admit that. You talk about all the good foods that you like to eat, and I
don't feel like moving after eating.
I've been long enough to know that you're a very sweet person.
I thought you were going to say garbage disposal. The amount of food I eat, I shove anything down my throat. That's good. I don't have much filter for that.
I bet your dentist is going to be happy about that diet.
We're going to find out tomorrow. When I go in the morning to the dentist, I'm going to sit down and they're going to say, when was the last time you had a cleaning? I'm going to say, probably about 2011, somewhere in there. And they're going to say, are you insane? When are 2012? Now, when was it? Yeah, it would have been early 2012. And they're going to say, you are insane. What took you so long? And I'm going to say, because I'm lazy. And then they're going to say, all right, let's take a look. Let's see the damage. And then by the time they get in there, they're going to say, this is remarkable. They're going to write case studies on how great my teeth are for not getting cleaned after all these years. That's how impressed
they'll be. The first thing they're going to do is do x-rays. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the dentist, I was thinking like you, I don't hardly have any problems, man. This is going to be really, I haven't been in 5 years. This is going to be great. They did the x-rays on me, and they show me all of these dark spots.
Oh, man, don't. We'll
find out. That have to be drilled out.
Do you take care of your teeth? Do you brush twice a day? Do things like that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. Yes, all right, don't scare me. I'll find out later.
I'm very fortunate my age to still have my teeth.
Oh, good. All right, Bree, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
Let me explain.
Bye, Bree. Well, she just told me, just because the surface teeth look good, wait till you get that x-ray. That's when you need to be worried. Oh, great. One other thing to worry about. I think I have great teeth. I'll show my teeth off to anyone. Look at these teeth. Look at these. These are good-looking teeth. Producer Mike's scared. He's like a horror movie. Susan calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So, go ahead.
I just heard this lady on the radio saying that, our criminals here are criminals because of our food. But she doesn't understand this. We have some very fine restaurants here, and the criminal types can't afford to eat at them anyway. So,
you think so?
It doesn't really matter. If you go to McDonald's and all these other fast food places, I guess you're eating, the poor diet. But, we have some very fine restaurants, and I think it's because of the German and the Italian influence here in the area, because when they came here, they knew how to cook good food. And it's just my grandma's taught, great-grandma, whoever, has taught everybody how to cook good.
How did they come to St. Louis?
Even here, the food's good. Everybody that comes from out of town says, boy, you people have great food.
I know. So, were your family members German?
We take pride in it. We take pride in our good food.
Oh, I know. Were your family members German?
Yeah, German. And my dad's family is kind of like, a lot of Irish, British. They migrated here, but my mother's ancestors actually came here from Germany directly. They settled.
Okay, great. All right, Susan, thanks for that. You're right. Yeah. Hey, good to hear from you.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right. Sandy, hold on. We got to go to break, but I do want to get your call, too. When I do the show, The Business of Family Business, which airs weekends here on KMOX when there's not a sports conflict, you would be surprised, if you don't listen to that show, but you may be surprised to find out how many of these family businesses started because of their great-grandparents that came to this country in the 1800s, or great-great-great-grandparents that just decided to stay here because they were from Germany, they were German, and they were traveling through, they didn't know exactly what was going to happen, and then they saw the giant German community here in St. Louis, and they said, this place ain't so bad, I'll just stay here. It's amazing, the German community and everything that they built here in St. Louis. I hear that so often on the show of family business members that started, decades and over 100 years ago. That's the reason why they're here in St. Louis. I'll get some more of your calls coming up. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Look at these teeth. Look at these teeth, producer Mike. Don't they look good? Uh-huh.
No!
What? You know, I don't know if you know this. You know what is a very good way to whiten your teeth?
Cucumber dip.
Yeah. Excellent. Not a lot of people know that. Oh, Sandy calling in. Hey, Sandy, what's going on?
Hi. I just wanted to share for anybody who's interested some of what the previous caller, the lady from Texas, shared.
Oh, Bree.
About,
yeah.
About how diet, but I struggle with food. I love food. I wish it didn't love me as much back. But anyway, the point is, several years back, a gentleman wrote a book, don't remember his name, but The Blue Zone, you know, and it referenced the Adventist health study. The government has studied Seventh-day Adventists, the biblical dietary message, twice, and it can have a direct impact on your body, which includes your thought processes. I just wanted to share it for anybody who's interested, because there's really tasty, delicious vegetarian food, which I know everybody usually goes yuck, but until you try it.
Is this the same thing that Chris Pratt's going around talking about recently?
You know, I'm not sure. That's a new name to me. Yes. I don't get out much.
Well, that's fine. So I don't know what it is either. I saw some headlines out there where he was on some talk shows talking about some biblical diet he's following. I don't know if that's the same thing or not. So tell me, what makes this diet special? What goes on in this diet?
Well, it's called the 8 Laws of Health. You know, there's an acronym called New Start. You can also Google that. It's nutrition, exercise, water, sunlight, temperance, rest. Okay. Anyway, the A in there is for air. I'm a little nervous. I apologize.
Oh, that's fine. Then the you're last missing a T is, there. Yeah. So
yeah, the last T is trust in God.
Oh. Okay.
But, yeah. So you and know, then, but each. Each to their own.
All right, so this is not necessarily a diet of nutrition. There's other things that you're talking
about. Oh, no, no, no. It's very nutritious. And, you know, the saying, eat the rainbow. But, I mean, the U.S. government has studied twice the Adventist. If you Google AHS, Adventist Health Study, there's number one and number two.
Yeah.
And there's nutritionfacts.org. I mean, there's lots of really awesome resources, but I know some people try something maybe one time, but go to somebody that knows what they're doing so it tastes good. And
very good, Sandy. I'll check it out. Thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Trying out different diets here. Kevin Killeen, a rare late night appearance from you. Hey,
Ryan,
what's going on?
It's a miracle you're here in 3D. I always hear the show in the basement at night, and you're over the staticky radio, and I'm by this little heating vent.
What do you think of my teeth, since you're close enough to see it? Do they look good?
Oh, they look terrific. You look like a canine.
I haven't been to the dentist in 7 years. I'm going to go to my first checkup today.
I thought you just went.
Well, I'm going to. I set the appointment a few weeks back.
Oh, you'll do fine.
Today's the day for that. So they're going to look at it, I'm sure, do the x-rays, things like that. We'll see how that goes. I feel like I'm in good shape right now, though.
Yeah, a lot of people avoid that for years.
So you were out covering the vote, the campaigns, and you were at Lewis Reed's campaign?
Yeah, the city of St. Louis had an election, which sounds kind of boring. A lot of people say, well, who cares?
Yeah, March 6th election, yeah.
But it was kind of neat because it showed there's these different factions, like the old-time Democrats versus the young progressive Democrats. Mm-hmm. I called them the Walgreens Democrats versus the Starbucks Democrats. And you had two Starbucks Democrats, Jamila Nasheed and Megan Green, and they were both kind of splitting the progressive vote.
Mm-hmm.
And the incumbent, Lewis Reed, the conservative, he won just by a small amount, like 1,400 votes. And
you feel he's a conservative? He runs as a Democrat, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's not out with a lot of really, you know, novel ideas, like we should close down the city jail.
Yeah.
You know,
I like Lewis Reed myself. And are you thinking that perhaps if they didn't split the vote, Lewis Reed could have lost?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? You think so? You think everyone would have just voted for one or the other? As opposed to, you know, because there was like 31, 31, and 35% was the breakdown, something like that, between the three of them.
The city's getting younger. Another thing that was in the mix today, it was so cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the older you get, the less you want to go out in a long underwear voting situation.
What was the voter turnout?
It was only 17%. They were expecting 30%.
Actually, I think 17 is pretty good, all things considered.
Well, yeah.
I think
it was
that's
about,
pretty good.
I guess about 35,000 people voted out of a city of 300,000.
So, that's not good when you put it that way. Yeah, that kind of changes the perspective. Did you get to talk to Lewis Reed?
Just briefly, he looked like some sort of long distance runner who had just crossed the Mojave, and he had on a gray suit and he jogged in and he's perspiring and he sort of collapsed to the podium and says, I can't tell you what an amazing day it's been. His voice was hoarse.
Yeah.
And, you know, supporters were hugging him. I think at one point he thought I might lose because it was very close. But
initially when the votes were coming in, it was right neck and neck, all of them.
You know, you have to feel sorry for the losers. Because to think of, like, Megan Green had posted a Twitter picture of her purple-laced tennis shoes, which looked like they were from the Great Depression. They were so scuffed up. And she said, these were new when I started going door-to-door 5,000 door knocks ago.
Wow.
I mean, to go into that, the only thing I can think of is, like, with me, if I would spend, like, 2 years working on a novel, and it would get rejected.
Right away.
It's a massive rejection politics.
Yeah, that hurts. You have to have some thick skin to get into politics anymore. And they had some pretty nasty debates, the way that they were talking about each other. They were not holding back. And normally you find some, even on that level, somewhat civil. But I think we're past the civil part anymore.
Yeah, so we'll see. But anyway, it's great to, I just wanted to say hi, that, you know, it's great to see you in person, that the show is, you're here like a cup of coffee, you know.
Yeah, like a cup of coffee.
From people.
You know, we're going live to Canada next hour. We'll talk to Justin Trudeau. I don't know if you're ever up late enough to hear those interviews with Canada. Do you have you heard any? They're normally in 1 a.m. hour.
I usually go to bed right before 1.
Yeah,
that's,
I figure.
The limit for me. It's almost time now. So
I know. Anyway. This is a real late night for you. So, Kevin Killeen, thanks for the special surprise to see you in studio. Oh, one quick thing. Do you think what do you think the chances are that this recall vote for Mayor Crewson actually moves forward?
Well, the two aldermen who are pushing it, they're in their 20s.
Yeah.
And they're kind of the young Turks, Alderman Brandon Bosley and John Collins Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they really have fiery rhetoric. But I saw an old-time former alderman at White Castle, Frank Williamson. And I said, Frank, what do you think about this? He says, what are you doing here at White Castle? I said, I love their cheeseburgers.
Of course.
He said, really? He said, what do you have? And he has a double cheeseburger, which is too much for me. But he says, I don't think that recall effort is going anywhere. He says, I think those guys, they mean well, but to try to gather 50,000 signatures, visualize Busch Stadium on a summer day teeming with people. That's 50,000 people.
Yeah.
To get that many signatures, and they have to be spread out all over the ward maps. So that's not just a little speech and we'll get it done. That's a lot of legwork.
And they have to go over because they find out if some aren't valid, if it drops their number down, then, you know, it's all for nothing anyway. So they got to get way more than 50,000 just because I'm sure it'll be contested even after that.
Yeah. Well, the minimum they need is 39,000 certified.
I see.
So they were shooting for 50.
Oh, well, that makes sense then. Okay. So producer Mike messaged, he said, what's your favorite food destination? Is that White Castle in St. Louis, or what's your favorite?
You know, I bring a turkey sandwich to, I almost said to school, because this is like school, to school every day. But when I am really, like after the Stockley riots, or after a big, you know, trial, and if I don't have anything to eat, I'll go to White Castle maybe like once every 6 weeks. And it's I always feel guilty afterwards though, but it's.
Yeah. Did your mom make a good turkey sandwich?
I guess so. I don't know.
You know, I've seen some chefs talk about this, and they said there's something special about the way mom used to make it. So if you ever pack your lunch, don't put it in the fridge. Just like when you went to school, there was no fridges. So it would sit out on the shelf for a half a day before you ate it. There's something that changes and brings back the memories
of
going back to school.
There's a lot of projectile vomiting from that, too.
Well, it's kind of like it brings back the memories.
The mayonnaise would get warm.
It didn't back in the day, though. Why would the mayonnaise go bad in a half a day? I guess if you left the whole thing out. But that it changes it somehow, and it brings back the memories. Yeah, White Castle's is pretty great. I can go and get a White Castle any day.
All right. Well, carry on the good work.
Kevin Killeen, thank you so much for stopping in. Always good to see you. All right, so as you heard, in the next hour, right after 1 o'clock, we're going to hook up with Drex up in Canada, He does the late shift up there. And what's going on with Justin Trudeau? The thing with him is there's a lot of pressure for him to step down. Also coming up, I wanted to talk about a couple of stories I found online. A couple of what in the world were they thinking style of stories. What are they thinking? So we're going to get to that too. Overnight America, KMOX. All right, here's a few things I just don't understand. Tell me if this headline from the BBC surprises anyone. Czech man mauled to death by lion he kept in his backyard. Did that surprise anyone? There was a documentary that came out once where they followed a couple of different homes in Ohio where there's very relaxed laws when it comes to owning things like lions. And people couldn't understand why in the world would someone feel like they want to own a lion. Well, they get these small animals, these small lions, these small tigers, things like that. And what they end up doing is growing so large that you become their food. So this 33-year-old, his name is Michael Prasik, owned the 9-year-old cat and another lion for breeding. He created in his Czech Republic home separate living pens on his own and had these things, and they were friends, and he was inside the pen, and, you know, he'd work with them and do these certain things. But for whatever reason, the law did not like the idea that this man in the Czech Republic was breeding lions on his property, having no experience, and who knows who he was giving them to. You know, and even the local officials there, they kept telling him, you're not allowed to do that. They denied the permissions to build these pens. He was fined for illegal breeding. The authorities, however, were not allowed on his property. So can you just say, no, you're not allowed on. I don't know what the laws are like in the Czech Republic. If they can serve you with a crime and enter your property that way, you know, if they have a warrant, a little different, I guess. I guess he's on his own property. As long as he never leaves, then, well, eventually they had to respond to his property because the lion ate him and he was inside of this enclosure being eaten by these lions. And apparently when the authorities came in, they had to shoot and kill these two, mostly because they said it's the only way to get to the body. So lions are dead. Guy's dead. He made headlines last summer when he took his lion out for a walk on a leash. What was he thinking? Why do people feel they should have these exotic animals in their home? I mean, anyone listening right now, have you ever been to a home where they had an exotic lion or something exotic or crazy like that? There are a couple of weird, like, here, this person has a monkey running around in a diaper. And, you know, you think to yourself, like, why would they do that? You know, and even some of the more tame ones, like rabbits, you find that around Easter and this time, there's the dad that wants to really surprise their kids with an Easter bunny. And they'll get this thing and then, you know, eventually they'll let it loose because they don't want to care for the animal. They only wanted it for a little bit. You find that around holidays too. And I don't know. Some people have things like sloths, which is weird. I always wonder why people feel like they need to have these really, really bizarre animals. I don't get it. Have you ever experienced something bizarre in someone's home, an animal, and you thought, why in the world do they got that? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. What animal did you see at someone's home? I'm just curious if there's any weird ones out there. My wife used to volunteer at the zoo before we had our son, and she would always say to me, if I ever get a chance, I'm going to go into the lion enclosure to help them. And I said, you are not going to. I don't care. I don't care if they give you an opportunity to do it. You are not going in there. Said, that's the last thing I want to do is get a call from some volunteer shift coordinator. Oh, your wife got hurt today because she went into the lion enclosure or whatever, and tigers or whatever. No, thanks. Stay away from that stuff. She's like, oh, but the volunteers get to do things like that sometimes. I don't care. Don't do it. And it makes you wonder, some people actually want to have these things in their home. They want to hold on to these things. Oh, my goodness. Please don't. Here's another what were you thinking moment. You're in Florida. You're traveling at the airport. You're putting your things through the conveyor belt and they're just checking it out and TSA's doing their thing and, you know, they send it through and all of a sudden the alarms go off. Wee, 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 wee. What is going on? So they open up and they find out the guy has A, rocket launcher, a grenade rocket launcher. Why would he think that's okay to send through the airport? In a press release, the TSA said the launcher belonged to a Florida man and set off the alarms passing through the security. The grenade launcher was found in pieces, unassembled, in a man's checked bag. A checked bag. The unassembled pieces to the grenade launcher included a barrel, a trigger, sights, and a grenade replica. Come on now. A grenade replica. This is what he thought. So the man from Florida was detained for questioning. He said that he thought because it was a replica, it would be okay to bring a grenade launcher onto the thing. It looks like out of a video game. This thing basically looks like a thin version of a bazooka. When you see the old, you know, the little army man. So it looks like a thin bazooka, got a trigger on it, and you would put this rocket on the end. It looks exactly like a miniature bomb, like you see them dropping on World War II or something. You know, it's got the little tail on the end, and it's got the thick head to it, and it's got the shaft, and yeah, it looks exactly like that. Apparently, the person just believed, oh, no, since it's a replica, it's no big deal. I won't scare anyone bringing a grenade launcher onto the plane in my checked bag. So he believed that military-propelled grenade launcher was perfectly fine. They reminded him, nope. No realistic or replica weapons of military nature are permitted on the plane. So the TSA took it and said, be on your way. You're lucky we're not arresting you, but we're not giving this back. It's ours now. See you later. Probably the luckiest day of his life. You know, he's probably being threatened with jail time. You know, you just tried to bring on something that would have easily have fooled anyone, like you were trying to hijack this plane. That's a federal crime. Looks like you're going to jail for a long time. See you later. No, just keep it. I don't need it. Bye. I wonder how much something like that even costs. And then again, why in the world would he think that's acceptable to bring onto a plane? What? What were they thinking? Coming up, it's almost like I'm starting a segment for something like that. What were they thinking? Oh, how about this? Since we're talking about animals and what we're seeing inside of the pens in the Czech Republic, where you can just get a line anywhere you go. There was a story on KSDK, an adoption agency, not for people, not for children, but for animals, turned down an application because they didn't like the neighborhood that this couple was living in. This is pretty lousy. I mean, I heard a story like this. It's pretty ridiculous. I wanted to play it for you. Coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. There's a story on KSDK site, and yeah, I'd be pretty upset about this too. So apparently some neighborhoods are too dangerous to adopt dogs, but this one may surprise you if you think of the dangerous neighborhoods of St. Louis. My first impression of all this, and maybe it'll be confirmed here soon enough, but my first impression was, you know, when you get young volunteers that don't know any better and they deny applications because of things like this, makes you wonder. But then again, this organization called Gateway for Paws stands by their decision to not adopt to a couple because of where they're located. They think it's just the most dangerous part in all of St. Louis. Think of all the dangerous areas.
Just about every dog parent remembers the story of how their lives changed for the better.
And we adopted him in West Virginia. He is a retired racing greyhound, and he raced down in Florida. He was apparently really bad at it.
But until Monday, Peter had no idea that the city he lived in could affect someone's chance of finding a love like his.
You know, isn't that funny? So they go to the streets and they start talking to people walking dogs in this neighborhood where this couple was denied a dog. And they ask, don't you know? Don't you know this is the worst of the worst? You are terrible human being for bringing a dog into this neighborhood.
The area you live in is listed as a very high crime area for multiple reasons, and this is not a place we want our fur babies to live. Sorry.
That was the email he got when applying to adopt a dog from this Gateway for Paws.
He says the email sent by Gateway for Paws could easily rub some dog owners the wrong way.
Oh, the neighborhood he's in, Tower Grove South. You think of that as the worst of the worst in St. Louis? When you hear Tower Grove South, do you think to yourself, wow, I totally understand. No way would I ever put an animal there. You kidding me?
I'm kind of offended by that.
Someone posted the email to the Tower Grove South neighborhood Facebook page after their request to adopt a dog was denied.
Obviously, I'm sure they're looking out. They have the best intentions for their for where they're adopting their animals, but I wouldn't necessarily consider that a criteria.
Austin Hazlett saw the post Friday.
Yeah, it's stupid. You can go ahead and say it. It's stupid that they would deny an application. Because Tower Grove South.
Necessarily consider that a criteria.
Austin Hazlett saw the post Friday. He is also a dog dad to his pit bull, who prefers to wear pink.
Here, face this way, honey bear.
Now that's a dog owner right there. You're going on the news with your pit bull? Come on, honey bear. Come on.
Here, face this way, honey bear.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm talking about. We should save that as a drop. That'd be a good one.
Here, face this way, honey bear.
That's a good pet name, too. Not just like a pet name for an animal, but like a pet name for a loved one. Maybe I'll try calling my wife honey bear today. I wonder how that'll go. What do you mean? Bear.
Or face this way, honey bear.
And he says dogs are as much as part of the neighborhood as their owners.
This is like one of the most dog-friendly places ever. Like, everybody has one so they could walk them in the park. Like, and I've never felt unsafe.
Gateway from.
You know, and the funny thing is, the KSDK goes out there. It's at night. So I'm going to guess it's like, you know, 7 o'clock or something like that. Probably not too long into the nighttime, but just enough for it to be dark outside. And they're not in an area where I would look at and say to myself, I feel like this is the worst of St. Louis right now. Yeah, I understand. You got to be aware of your surroundings. You need to pay attention to what you're doing. But it didn't seem like it was difficult for them to find a couple of people walking their dog in this neighborhood at 7 o'clock.
Paul sent Five on Your Side a statement about the denial. Here's part of it. Every application is thoroughly reviewed by our volunteers. We take into account fence or no fence, who lives in the home, where the home is, and so much more.
Mm. By the way, does anyone defend this Gateway for Paws? Do you think that they made the right call on this one? I'm just curious. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120.
Gateway for Paws went on to say that they regret any hard feelings anyone may have, but they say they will continue to do what's in the best interest of their pets.
Mm. You know, I worked, not like a paid position, but I volunteered and I was working for a shelter. And I did a lot of times with the adoptions. Obviously you want to make sure you have what's best for the animal. When you work with and you get connections with these animals, you want to make sure that you're not just giving it to a family or a person or whatever that can't take care of it, because then, you know, ultimately the animal's going to get hurt or abandoned or whatever it may be. And you want to avoid those situations. So here's a few things you look out for. Can the person afford to have the animal? AKA, can they afford to feed the animal at the very least? I mean, we're talking about going to the store and getting food, or are they dependent on getting donations for food in order to get that animal? You know, so if they can't afford to take care of the animal, that's a major red flag. Do they live in an area where the animal will actually have access to go outside? You may consider if it's a farm or not. Some places that give out to adoptions don't like if you're just going to get a bunch of outdoor dogs to run your farm, and eventually you'll just throw some food or water outside and the dog's going to be outdoors all day. You know, they don't like necessarily those scenarios. So there's things you take into consideration. I would look at where this reporter was standing as they went through this neighborhood and talk about this particular area, the Tower Grove South. I wouldn't say to myself, this is a war zone. No way can we trust anyone with an animal in this area. I would not look at it this way. And I don't know anyone that would. To me, it's like someone from that organization has never been around to that area. They get the wrong impression. And then they just dig in even deeper. You know, it's not good. So it maybe they were trying to spare the embarrassment. Maybe they didn't like the person they were trying to adopt to. But then again, they just made a really stupid call here. And then they put this statement out to KSDK and they dig into it even deeper. So let's see. So the whole thing is, you know, they tirelessly work to make the very best choices for the dogs to ensure they are adopted to very best homes. I get it. I wonder how many animals they hold on to at any given time. It makes you wonder. There's other criteria that went into this other than, but they basically said they just thought it was just too dangerous to let that dog in there. Ultimately speaking, you have to also consider, where's this dog at right now? Is the dog being fostered or is a dog being kept in a pen and that's where that dog will stay because there's no one else lining up to adopt the dog right now? So ultimately speaking, you have someone that's willing to take this dog on walks, take care of it. It's on a house. You know, they're allowed to have the animal there. They're not in a bad area. I don't see why that would be the sole reason to deny in a situation like this. So the adoption agency, Gateway for Paws, may be a little too picky. And it's definitely worth criticizing them for something like that. Let's see. We got a couple of minutes here. Or maybe you think that this Gateway for Paws is right. I don't know. If that's the case, I'm sure that you can look at some other instances of when they did actually adopt, and maybe you can probably find a lot worse scenarios that they adopted too, and maybe there's something else underlining here with their own issues they got. At right after 1 o'clock in about 10 minutes from now, we're going to be hooking up with Drex. I don't know if you've been following what's going on in Canada. Here's my problem. I got enough to follow here when it comes to the United States and politics. I mean, I watch the news and I'll see the headlines of Justin Trudeau pop up and I'll see that he's embroiled in a bunch of controversy. I'll see that people are calling him to step down, but I don't read the article. I feel like I got enough to take care of here in the United States. I don't know how they do it up in Canada. They have all of their own politics. They have all of their own people. They have all of their own news cycles. They got a lot to pay attention to, and then they pay attention to the United States on top of that. I don't know how they do it. I feel like I'm overloaded with everything else that I have to cover here. Maybe it's just there's so much to cover in the United States that we just don't branch out like we should. Now, there's other world events, and of course, we're going to pay attention to what's going on in China and North Korea and Venezuela and things like that. It's not like we're completely turned off to the rest of the world. It's just that, you know, someone that wants the Prime Minister of Canada to step down might not be the first thing on my reading list. Like, I'll read about it if he does step down, right? Or there's a vote or something crazy like that. But he's seen a lot of opposition. Now, Justin Trudeau, I've always looked at him as like a pretty boy. So you see him going out to these different places. He's very social and leaning progressive in the way that he handles a lot of his things. You know, he doesn't like to use certain terms. He's very cowardly when it comes to certain words that are like, oh, don't say that. That might be offensive to certain people. So free speech isn't really a big, like he's always out there trying to correct you for certain words you're using. So I look at him, I see him as pretty soft. I see him folding to a lot of social pressures. So I think that could play into it too. That's just my general impression of him. I don't look at him as necessarily a strong leader. So when people are, and there's a lot of big names that are calling for him to resign, I see this as a big threat to him because, you know, he looks like, to me, someone that would buckle under the pressure. But that's why we need to talk to Drex up in Canada. Drex is host of The Late Shift. He's on several radio stations across Canada. He is the late night equivalent to what you would hear here on KMOX. And you've heard him a couple of different times. I always like when we're able to connect with him. So that's going to be happening here in less than 10 minutes. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. If you have any questions for Drex, you can always text him in if you wanted to. 314-436-7900.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.